This is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And we have a very special, precious gift and guest today, the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Reverend Sharon Callahan, author, creator of Anaflora flower essences for animals, and a champion for animals around the world. And I just thank you with all my heart, Sharon.
Oh, I thank you. I thank you for having me on your program, and I thank all of our wonderful listeners who feel the same way about animals that we do for all getting together with us.
And you know, I think when we get together, it's like the main thing for me with friends and with everything I'm doing is what can we cook up good together? You know, how can we expand our service?
Right.
How can we contribute widely and in a way that really makes a difference to people and animals?
Cooking up mischief in a good way.
Well, Sharon, you know, knowing you, working with you this way, if you can call this work, it's just loving, joyous service.
It is loving, joyous service, isn't it?
Yes. And it's the best way I can give my talents and that I see. And I just want to acknowledge you that you are the most pure and devout and focused on your mission and what you're here to do and give. Of anyone I've ever seen, every single thing you do is in alignment with that, is in integrity with that. And more than that, I see you mostly when you're on vacation, your version of a vacation. in resting mode.
Yeah.
That's your resting mode when you come to my house, right?
It is.
And when you're in that resting mode, often you work on your book you're writing. You work on, I've seen you do three or four sessions on your days off. And I know it is resting for you.
Well, it is, and I think that really when we really open to whatever our divine service is, I mean, I don't really consider that I'm special in any way at all. It's just that I've kind of opened up the channel to be of service to animals, and it gets filled over and over every day. So in a sense, all I really do is get up in the morning and come in and respond to what's there. And I think one of the main important things for people to understand, because so many people that I talk to feel that they haven't really found their life purpose, or they might be working at a job that they don't really like. And of course, if they're calling me, many of them would like to make a transition into working with animals. And I think the only thing that really stops people is a fear that they might make a mistake, or that it wouldn't support them, or that they might somehow do the wrong thing or go the wrong way. And I think the thing that makes a difference is just having with me, it took something fairly dramatic happening in my life, getting very sick, to make the difference. And I would hope for most people they don't have to go through that. But really falling in love with some form of service so much that you just can't do anything else. And, of course, for me and for you in a big way also, that service is being in service to the animal kingdom. For another person, it might be caring for children, or it might be caring for the elderly, or assisting people in the dying process. And it isn't, you know, nothing is higher or lower. It's all a matter of one's particular calling, clicking into what that calling is, and then not being afraid to put yourself fully into that, no matter what anyone else thinks. And the magic really is that in ways that we could never conceive of with our mind, it does support us. And in the early days when I began doing my work, or actually I should more correctly say when the work began coming through me, I just made a commitment to devote every waking hour to some aspect of working with animals. So if the phone wasn't ringing and I wasn't responding to people's calls, or I wasn't preparing flower essences for people, then I would simply shift my focus to writing about animals, writing articles or working on a book. And I think it really is the concentrated focus on one thing without fear and without exception that creates what we would call in this world success in whatever our field of greatest love is. And so I'm always encouraging people not to be afraid to go totally in the direction of what their life calls them to do. And of course, sometimes people, you know, it might be a young mother with children, and, you know, maybe there's no father in the picture. And so for a while, that person may have to work at two jobs. But I think when we click with what our real calling is, and we make a commitment to that, it really all falls together in the most magical way. Iris, is the lady Linnea going to be on with us today?
She is going to be on, and she's not going to be on until about 2:45.
Well, I was asking because I think that she's a wonderful example. What's her full name?
Linnea, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, Latanzio.
Linnea Latanzio, I just watched her beautiful video for the first time this morning, and I was so touched. And I think Linnea is a beautiful example of what one single person can do, because she is this most wonderful woman who has always loved animals. She said when she was a child, she wanted a cat more than anything, and her mother wouldn't let her have a cat. And now she literally has hundreds of cats that she cares for. She created a nonprofit foundation. And really, we'll talk to her live and in person in a while, but to me it seems that the only thing that made her different was that she stopped at a certain point in her life and she just realized that there was something more that she came to Earth to do. And she began volunteering at shelters, and she began seeing animals in distress and animals that were going to be euthanized. And she just couldn't bear to see that happen, so she just began giving them all a home. And the amazing thing is she was absolutely fearless about it. You know, she just followed her heart, put one foot in front of the other, and now she has what I would consider one of the most magnificent animal sanctuaries, particularly cats, but she does have dogs also, but just the most magnificent high vibration animal sanctuary I think I've ever witnessed. It's just amazing. And so here's a beautiful woman who's an example of really clicking in to her life purpose, no matter how strange it might have seemed to the people in her life at the time, and just dedicating herself to that 100%. And the magic just started happening.
Well, you know, it's so beautiful because every animal there has a lifetime sanctuary. They're all up for adoption.
Yes.
And she said to me, come on a sunny day and walk down to the river and 150 cats will go with you.
Let's go.
I know. I can't think of anything more fun. And that she has like 150, like between 500 and 700 cats at a time.
Right.
And 150 dogs.
Beautifully
and they all get along.
Yes. Well, that's also the magic. You know, it's obvious in the beautiful video of her sanctuary that she has set up a loving field of energy there so that all the animals that come are in harmony with one another. And to me, that itself is such a beautiful example of how we really create with our thoughts and our feelings. And because she believes that animals can be in harmony, sure enough, all the ones that come live beautifully together.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's just so wonderful to see, and that no one's in a cage.
No one's in a cage. They're all free. They're climbing trees. They're playing on the grass. Some of them are. They all have free access to the house. It's just magnificent and beautiful.
Do we have a caller, Dawn?
Yes, you do.
Is it Linnea?
No, this is Althea, and I wanted to say hello to Sharon and Iris, and I had a question regarding my cat,
yeah,
a very special being for our home and our family. She's a little white cat, and she throws up a lot, and I'm not really quite sure why. You know, she gets her shots from her doctor. She's indoor-outdoor, but she seems fussy with her food, and I've tried all sorts.
What's her name?
Her name is Samantha.
Uh-huh.
We call her Sammy.
How old is she?
Oh, we've had her probably 7 years, and she came from a shelter.
Yes. And has have the challenges that you described been with her all those years?
No, it just seems like this year and then, of course, last year, she started to just really show dislike towards her food. And, you know, so I try all sorts, I mean, all price points, everything, and she just seems to be real fussy with the food, and then, of course, the throwing up. It's not daily, but it's symptomatic.
And is there anything that might have happened in your life around the time that she began exhibiting those symptoms, like something that might have impacted her emotionally and then physically after that?
I don't think so. Our house is it's pretty calm. She seems to want to play, and she takes love from everybody, and definitely very, very kind and loving. But she seems to do a lot of energy work as well.
Yes, well, kitties do that.
Uh-huh.
She, you know, as far as I can tell when I connect with her, I think that the symptoms that you're describing don't seem really to be as troublesome to her as they might be to you when you watch them.
Okay.
well, I suspect that, you know, cats do lots of energy work, both with their immediate family and sometimes on a much larger scale. And I suspect that as she's gotten older and as she continues to do her energy work, that her body may really need different nutrients, maybe things that are more absorbable. And the reason she's finicky and throwing up may be related to that, in that her body may be searching for something that it isn't getting or that it needs, and she doesn't know quite what that is.
And I agree with you because, you know, we're all in our home, we love to cook. And there's nothing we can't cook, and she'll come up to the plate and smell it, but she won't try it.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost, to me, it's like she wants new things, but I get the feeling she doesn't know what she wants, and I don't really know what to give her either.
And she's been checked out by your veterinarian?
Absolutely. I thought of taking her just recently, and then I thought maybe this could be energetic.
Well, I think so. I mean, I always like to mention having them checked physically because, you know, the symptoms you describe certainly could be attributed to some imbalance. But I don't think so. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head yourself, so you're very in tune with her. I mean, I really think it is that her body needs something, and she's trying to discover what the something is.
Mm-hmm.
So my approach, if it were my kitty, would be to just keep offering her different things.
Okay.
Does she drink enough water?
We put it out. She seems to like the toilet over anything we give her.
it's like a watering hole.
Yeah, she does, and then she loves dirt. She loves dirt, the mouse. She's white, but she really wants to be black. She has a little identity crisis there, but, yeah, she loves the taste of dirt, and I think that might be the minerals she's looking for there.
And it's a way to ground herself, you know.
Oh,
if she's
I see.
Doing energetic work, it would make sense to me that she'd want a role on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
To get, I mean, we would consider a white kitty getting dirty, but, you know, I think for her, what I'm picking up from her is that it's very grounding to her. And you're right. I mean, it could very well be that her body is depleted of minerals. So one of the things that you could try that can't do any harm at all would be to give her a mineral supplement, and usually for kitties the best thing is like something that's colloidal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a very, very minute amount of all of the trace minerals, and usually you can get them in drops that you just put in the water. But I think even if you do that, she'll continue the rolling in the dirt because that's her way to ground herself.
So cats, are cats just more energetic, you know, they're really, I mean, I'm sure there's whales and stuff like that, but I mean, in terms of household pets, are they just really the animal that does the energy work on a continuous basis?
Well, I think that it's hard to make any blanket rule about that because, of course, every animal, just like every human being, is uniquely individual. And certainly you'll see cats that don't have any interest in energy work. You know, they're doing something completely different.
Right.
But I would say in an overall sense, cats are very energetically sensitive. And it's not that other animals aren't. But cats, to me, are like a Stradivarius or something, you know, like a very highly, finely tuned instrument. And so more than other animals, they really respond to and mirror back energies in their environment, and really also on a larger scale, energies in the larger environment.
Oh, right.
You know, globally.
I'm with you on that. If there's something going on in the world, she's aware of it. She lets me know that there's something. It's like I don't even have to turn on TV. I just look at her and I know.
Right.
You know, she and with the full moons, a whole bit, she gets it. I do agree with you. I mean, I've met cats who, you know, really want nothing to do with humans. And this one here just is, you know, she's such a precious kitty. I mean, there's times when she sits on me and I'm like, you don't have to do my work. I really am doing my own. You know, it's like I have those talks with her. It's like, please. But she's so naturally gifted that she just automatically goes for it.
Yes, and I don't think she's picking up anything negative at all from you or your family, so no worry there. But I think you're absolutely right. She's taken on some sort of assignment to process energies, and there's no way to talk her out of that.
No, she's, I mean, there's times I'm like, you don't have to take on the world, but I could tell she does. You know, I could tell when people...
Wouldn't it be interesting if someone could do a study on cats and other animals? And I'll bet there's a definite correlation in some of the symptoms that you describe and world events. if we could see the connection, we would see that they were working on a very grand scale with energies in the world.
I think that will come when people shift into more sensitivity about their environment, a connectivity with their environment. They'll recognize that every being here, regardless of the package, is coming in to do work. And it's amazing that animals, too, come in with very specific missions.
Just like people, you know, groups of animals, certain species have certain missions. And, of course, within that, every individual animal has an individual mission. And I think the good news is people really are waking up because people are beginning to see how that works in their own home environment. And then it isn't too much of a stretch to see how the animals can also be doing that on a global scale.
Well, I really appreciate your phone call, you know, talking to me, and it helps me put me at ease to think that, you know, because I do think she's so precious and want her to always have a precious existence, too.
Yes.
I note with her she does not seem to want another kitty and gives me, like, a dirty stare if I even mention it.
Yes, she's not at all interested in any interference or competition.
No, but a dog might come into the picture if we move because, you know, I have an 11-year-old, and I'm hoping she'll be graced with... be graceful, but
she'll be all right with a dog. She wouldn't be all right with another cat.
Right. No, she's made it clear.
And I think that, you know, if you're just open at the right time, the right dog will come and it won't be any trouble at all.
Wonderful. I appreciate it.
Iris, do you have anything to add?
Have you tried baby food?
No. Should I?
Yes.
Chicken baby food.
Okay, you bet.
Chicken.
I will get chicken.
Yeah, and I want to say something about a lot of the pet foods. They're taking animals from laboratories where they've been tortured.
It's
right,
horrible.
So the vibration isn't high.
It's not something we want to participate in.
No.
I've purchased, I'm expensive, you know, all this stuff, vegetarian, this, all of this, and she's picky with that, too.
Have you tried organics?
I have.
Does she like that for dry food?
You know what? She gives me the look after
the
about...
look.
She does. She gives me the look, and I'm like, God, you know, you got the queen complex going, girlfriend. You know, at some point in time, you need to let me know because it's stressful.
Well, you know, the other thing is she has a very high vibration, and she may... you might try some of those vegan foods. There's a website called Downward Bound, and they have... Sharon told me about
it's
it.
Wonderful.
They have a vegan dry cat food, and you know, my cats, it took about 6 months for them to eat a 10-pound bag, but I just offered it at the next to the other one, and they would crunch on it every
mm-hmm.
once in a while. But I think there's a transition period there.
Right.
But the whole vibration of the planet is going up, and as we do...
the food shifting. I'm with you on that.
We need to stop doing anything that causes suffering.
And I think a lot what happens, too, with animals, just as it does with people, is that as we all grow and become more sensitive and highly attuned to things, there's actually... less of a need for food. So Samantha may never go back to eating a lot, but it becomes more important, as Iris was saying, the quality of what's eaten.
Okay.
And interestingly, I've got a new little white kitten, and she's something like Samantha already. I mean, if you put a bowl of cat food down for her, she looks at you like you're just crazy. But what I found that she likes is just little bits of definable things, like a little tiny bit of, I give her a little tiny bit of goat cheese, I give her a little, she loves squash, rice and quinoa and sweet potatoes. And I think these very, very sensitive ones, they may really not need a lot of food. They just need the right food.
I'm with you. I know with her, if I'm drinking water, she expects me to offer her my water.
Your water?
Yeah.
It's special.
Pour it into the cap and hand it over to her.
That's a great system.
Well, you know, they already put up with a lot.
People
sit down at the table, don't set them a place, eat before them, eat in front of them, and then call it begging if they ask for something. You know, they just really put up with a lot.
Oh, you put it in perspective. I will look at that website. I will get that food. I'm so thankful for you both, and have a great day.
Thank you for calling. And look at Linnea's video. You can just get it on Yahoo by saying the cat house at King's Beach, and it's just the most fun thing.
Oh,
thank you
wonderful.
So much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was fun. Thank you, Elsa. Are you there?
That was very wonderful.
Yes.
I have lots and lots of people call me lately with a very similar scenarios, kitties that suddenly stop eating what they've been eating for years. And, you know, you're right, Iris. I mean, it really has to do with the overall shift that we're all going through. Our bodies need, you know, different foods, foods that don't come from the harming of other beings. Everything is shifting.
Lighter is better. Yeah, tremendous amounts of light are coming on to the planet.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yes. Do you want to talk some about that?
Well, sure. I have such an incredibly positive feeling about this new year that we've just come into and the future in general. I don't watch the news or anything like that, so I'm not at all plugged into all the gloom and doom that people are talking about. But when I sit and meditate, the levels of light and refined energies that are coming in are just awesome. And I really encourage people to stop whatever they're doing a few times a day and just really sit and bask in it. Because if you do, you really realize that everything is okay. You know, we're moving in a really good direction. We've just got to do a little navigating and help each other.
Yes, and focus on what we want.
That's right.
Not what other people are saying it is.
That's
but
exactly right.
Focusing on what we want. You know, Sonny, my son, apologized to me the other day because I was saying I wanted something, and he was like, "Mom," and then he came back later and he said, "You know, I've just been listening to people say this is possible, but this isn't." Oh, I think we have a caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Linnea from the cat house.
How wonderful.
I finally made it back into the building.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We were so looking forward to you being here, Linnea. I've talked to you before. And I just want to introduce you and Sharon. Sharon is an animal communicator and a champion of animals around the world. She has devoted her whole life to it. And I just wanted to see what the three of us could cook up together. And Sharon's already been we've been raving about your animal sanctuary and just giving thanks for it.
I just saw, Linnea, your beautiful video this morning, and I was so touched. Not only the wonderful animals and what you're doing there, but even more importantly, just the fact that you followed your heart and followed your dreams.
Well,
because
that's...
I have so many people that call me that just, you know, they want to work with animals, but it all seems way too big or too overwhelming. And so they don't take the first step. And I think you're just such an incredible example of what one person can put into motion.
It's been 17 years, this journey. And there were a lot of times when I thought I was going to have to stop because of finances or the county saying that I could have pigs, but I couldn't have cats. So there's, basically said I could have emus, but I couldn't have cats. And we've every battle we've had, we've won, and we now have 12 acres. And today I was just out buying some new buildings so that we can do a brand new kitten quarantine. So,
and Linnea, have you been in the same location all these years?
Yes, I actually moved here in 83, not really knowing why. I moved into a five-bedroom, 4,200-square-foot home on 6 acres, and I was single with no children. And I thought, boy, you were crazy. You never know what your calling is until it happens.
That's right.
And here I am. I've rescued over 17,000 cats and over 4,000 dogs.
I think it's just absolutely fantastic.
Well, you'll have to come and see it.
Oh, I would love to. Iris and I will come.
We have a lot of people that just come to pet, and I tell them there's 600 to 700 cats in two hands, so the more hands they bring, the better.
That's right.
Yes.
They need petting, too, don't they?
Oh, my God. When people walk in, they are surrounded, I mean, just about jumping on them, trying to get love. And it's very sad that here in the Valley that very few people want cats, and very even fewer want adult cats. So that's why I've become a sanctuary. And I try to take in the unadoptables from communities, say, where you are in the Bay Area. I do a lot of exchanges with the Bay Area, and I give them my adoptables, and I take their unadoptables.
That's wonderful.
Well, these guys deserve a chance at a home. And here
the other thing I think was so wonderful is just that they're all outdoors and they're able to climb trees and do all the wonderful things that come naturally to cats.
Well, they have access. In August, I moved out of that big home, the five-bedroom home, into a rental next door, still on the property. But they have access to that house. They have access to... There are 12 feeding stations on the property, and if they want to go run out and climb trees, they can, and if they want to sit by the fireplace, they can. They want to sit on the couch, sit anywhere they want to be, they could be.
And it's so spotlessly clean. It's just absolutely beautiful.
I have to say that I have 13 very dedicated employees, and we do clean this place from one end to the other every day. Even holidays, it's clean.
It shows. It's just beautiful.
So you don't have anybody that sprays or...
Oh, of course we do, but we don't... We have no carpeting, you know, everything is to the point now where we can control all the odor.
You're set up to handle it.
Yeah, let's not say it happened overnight. There were times when you would just throw up your hands going, where's the smell coming from? And now when you have nothing that can be left there, I mean, we do countless amounts of laundry, I have to admit. The floors are mopped daily. Everything, every cage, every litter box is cleaned and sterilized every day. So it takes a lot of people to manage this many animals.
And Linnea, what would you say to the person that would say that their heart's desire is to work with animals, but they just don't know where to start?
Well, the problem with a lot of people is they get in over their head, and this happened to me, too.
Yeah.
When I first started out, I was getting free food. I said, oh, well, then I can afford to do more. Well, then all of a sudden, the free food dries up.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do? Then another time, you're getting free spays and neuters. Oh, well, I can afford to do more. Then that dries up. You have to be prepared to have the money in your own pocket.
Right.
So those lean times, your animals don't suffer. And I am currently in debt over $300,000 out of my retirement, just to make sure these animals have what they need.
I can imagine.
So it's a labor of love, and you better have deep pockets, because if you get in over your head, the SPCA or the animal control is going to come over and shut you down. And you hear about those people over and over that take in these animals and they don't have the ability to care for them. And that's
Linnea,
very sad.
Am I correct that you started by doing volunteer work?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I was wondering if I was correct that you began by doing volunteer.
Oh, yeah, back in 1992, my dad asked me to find him 2 Manx kittens. And so what I did was I volunteered to bottle feed kittens, and that was my downfall. I got 15 little kittens, and they were sick, and, you know, you get them from the pound, they've got diarrhea, they've got upper respiratory, and I'd take my pathetic box of kittens from vet to vet to vet. Cost me $500 to get those guys healthy, and by the end of the year, I had rescued and adopted out 96, and I thought,
that's wonderful.
Piece of cake, I can do this, hey, and then the next year, I accumulated 30 beyond what I adopted, and then I got involved with another group, and then it was the 100 beyond what I adopted. But, you know, when you have 6 acres, that's what I had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, not a problem. I had plenty of room for them. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing and until I realized that my calling is to be a sanctuary.
Yeah.
We do a lot of adoptions. I have to admit, we take in from our local shelter. Last year we took in over 1,000. This year we took in probably 700 or 800. We haven't finished calculating what the fosters took in.
That's wonderful.
And you hear that, cat? That's a Bengal. Anybody want a Bengal? That is her true natural voice.
It's beautiful.
Oh, no. not when you have live with it.
Yes, she has spoken.
She sounds like a tigress.
she's definitely the Bengal. I'm going to have to let her out. She's kind of going to drive us crazy.
And, Linnea, when you, I remember from just briefly watching your video this morning, you were saying that you had been through a divorce, and you know, you were doing all the usual things that people do, and you just had the sense that there was more, that you'd really come to Earth to do something bigger.
There was always in the back of my mind, I'm supposed to be doing something. I'm supposed to be doing something. And you know, you realize that you can just go to so many movies and so many lunches and shopping
right.
So many times.
And so what was it that prompted you out the door the first time you went to a shelter to volunteer?
I have no idea. All I know is when I was a child, all I wanted was a kitten, and my mom wouldn't let me have one. So that might have started it, you know, the psychology of this. But my dad was an animal person, and he would he'd bring home goats and sheep because he was a principal of a school in a country school. So he would bring all kinds of animals, from horned toads to any... to turtles he would bring home. My mother, on the other hand, was wash your hands, you know, that kind of thing.
Is your mother still living?
Yes, she's 90, and she
what
has
does she
a, she
think
even
about
has a,
what you're doing now?
She's kind of given in to the fact that there's nothing she can do to stop it now. And you have another person that's a psychologist, an animal psychologist?
She isn't a psychologist.
A behaviorist?
No, Sharon, you're talking to her. Sharon is an animal communicator, and she kind of looks at it more like, what are they teaching us?
I was going to have her analyze that joy, that Bengal that I just let out.
How old is Joy?
Joy is probably 1.5.
How long has she been with you?
Well, she's about 6 months old. She was declawed, and when you do that, it causes adverse behaviors.
It does.
And then she was at the pound because she had diarrhea and then screamed like you heard.
Yeah.
And so they took her to the SPCA, and, you know, that's not a place for an animal. If she got adopted, they wouldn't care who she went to, and as soon as they found out she had chronic diarrhea, they would have probably thrown her outside. She would have ended up dead.
Right.
But anyway, she, through a channel of like 3 or 4 different people, she was pulled out and brought here, and she just has to be on a special diet, a raw food diet, and then she's fine, except that she doesn't like other animals.
So my sense is, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with Bengals, but my sense is... she was born with some kind of intestinal sensitivity. I also think, Linnea, she may be having like phantom pains from the declawing, which is very common.
I think that the voice is a natural voice for a Bengal,
yeah.
First of all. So that's one thing that scares you at first, but you just get used to it. And I think that the declaw for sure had adverse emotional effects.
Sure.
They always do. And then I think the raw food diet might be because she's so close to the wild Asian cat that she's not prepared to eat corn, you know, or the other
right.
additives that are in the food that we serve our cats. So on a raw food diet, she does great, or on even just canned food as opposed to the dry food.
Right.
So she's that's all in, under control. She just needs the right home.
Oh, I have a feeling someone will come along and fall in love with her.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
I'll bet she is. Is she a big girl?
No, no, very petite. I would
oh,
say
how nice.
7 or 8 pounds. Very tiny.
How cute.
Absolutely, that gorgeous chocolate mocha fur.
They're just incredibly beautiful.
Yes, they are.
I just, you know, there, Alyssa just called in before you, Linnea, and she was talking about how every animal has a mission as well as people. And I just think it's so wonderful that you've put together this harmonious home. And actually what the cats are showing other cats is you can have this.
Yes.
And that's being communicated around the world.
Like a hologram.
Yes.
We have every once in a while a cat will come in that hates cats. I have 3 of them right now, and they really hate cats. And they'll start out with, "I want my 10 feet," and
uh-huh.
then a couple months later, I'll take 3 feet. And then today I saw one of my cat haters in there eating out of the same dish as another cat. So
yay,
it
that's
takes
wonderful.
Time. Yeah, yes. I just you either join them or you're going to be very lonely all by yourself over there in the corner.
And Linnea, at any given time, do you usually have young kittens?
Oh, gosh. Right now, the shelter, this is not kitten season, mind you. Kitten season is over.
Right.
At the main shelter, the big house, I have probably 75 kittens.
Oh, my goodness.
And in my new home, where I swore I would not bring in any kittens, I have 4 litters of kittens.
I think maybe, Iris, you shouldn't go there. You'd come home with a whole truckload.
Well, I have 7 already.
The good thing about this time of year is that kitten season is over, and we just sent 25 of them up to the Bay Area, some of them to the San Francisco SPCA, and then to 2 other rescue groups. So all those people in your areas who have good spay-neuter laws do
yes.
not have this problem, so I feel that I should be able to send these guys up there, you know, just dole them out. When you guys are out, we'll send you some more. And they're, you know, they're by the time they leave here, they're fixed, vaccinated, tested, and we've taken care of any ailment that has they have.
And Linnea, do you have certain veterinarians that you work with?
Yeah, we have a couple, mostly for spay and neuter.
That's wonderful.
We have accounts with IDEXX, so we can do our own blood work and,
uh-huh, great.
And things like that to save some money.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so you're a non-profit foundation.
Correct.
That's just wonderful.
Oh, so, you know, Linnea, I already said it, but tell people how they can reach you.
How they can reach us?
Yes.
Well, our phone number is area code 559-638-8696. And then the website, that would be a good way to view our facility. It's Cat House. Oh, the email is cathousekings@yahoo.com. And the website is cathouseonthekings.com or .org.
And I really encourage people to see that beautiful video.
Yeah, the video is on YouTube. And
it's
that's
just incredible.
We're trying to get, I think we have well over 500,000 hits. And actually from that video, we've had people come from as far away as Denmark and Israel just to view the facility.
I believe that. And I just really feel, Linnea, in some ways, it's like your work is just beginning. I mean, I think that you're going to serve as a model for sanctuaries that will spring up all over the world.
Well, we have
because
a lot of people,
you've done it.
Yeah, a lot of people call and want to come and see, and I say, I can certainly tell you what not to do because I've already done it.
Yes, you've made all the mistakes for them.
Yeah, and I tell them what the, you know, the first thing they need and make sure you move here and don't move there. And you know, I can definitely save people a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of time. and this world needs more sanctuaries.
Yes,
so I'm
sure
more than
does.
Happy to help anybody out if they think that this is what their calling is. Give me a call and I'll walk you through it.
Well, that's just wonderful.
that's
that might start you off on a whole new career.
Yeah, I could start doing lectures on how to let the going broke enterprise, you know.
You know, you have the real riches, Linnea. You have a deep sense of gratitude and fulfillment every night when you go to bed. You know you've given your best gifts. You know you've gone all out to do all you could to raise life and make life happier. And that is the thing so many people are missing. And truly, people are poor without that, no matter how much money they have.
That's right.
Well, what's nice is when I wake up in the morning, it's not like, oh, my God, I have to go to work. I jump up. Before I even have coffee, I start feeding the kittens that I'm not supposed to have here. Now, don't tell anybody I put kittens in my new house.
We won't tell.
I promised them I wouldn't do it.
They have a way of,
infiltrate. Before you know it, there they are, just like magic.
Yep, the best chair, the best pillow.
Mm-hmm. I have to say this, to at this point, and this is January, there are absolutely no animals allowed in my bedroom. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's January. Now, March, April, I'll have to see what happens, but right now, I've got to have one room because at the other house I lived in, the master bedroom had like a colony of 65 cats in it.
Wow.
And I put those things on the walkways up on the ceiling, you know, so that they could get off the floor.
Yes.
And all these hammocks in there and everything to keep them off the bed. That just brought more in. And what they would do is in the middle of the night, they would jump from that walkway onto my solar plexus. And that is a very rude awakening. and then they would spin out, you know, have a chase across the bed and go across my face. And so I have some scars. They look like wrinkles, but they're really scars. And then the last straw that broke the camel's back, they threw up and it landed in my ear. And I said, that's it. It's yours. The whole house is yours. You can have it. I am out. And I moved. And now the ones that used to live in my bedroom are looking for me. They followed me over here. Mom, come back. We won't do it again.
Linnea, I was wondering on your website, is there a place where people can make donations to help you?
Yeah, we have a PayPal account.
Great.
On there, and we have a lot of, this is what a lot of people like to do. It's called Sponsor a Cat.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our cats don't have sponsors. You know, we charge a $30 a month fee to bring in a cat.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a cat that is unadoptable or whatever, it's $30 a month. Unless you're a rescue, then we do trades and exchanges. But for $15 a month, you can actually sponsor one of our cats. We send you a photo and an update, and then you support that cat.
That's
and you get
wonderful.
To pick, some people pick one. I want the ugliest cat you have. I want the biggest black cat you have. Or here's a picture of my cat that died. Can you find one that looks like this? And we can darn near match anybody.
That's wonderful. Well, as soon as I do an upgrade on my website, which is kind of next on my list, I'll put a link to you because I work a lot with people that have recently lost beloved animal companions, and I think it would be a wonderful, wonderful kind of memorial for them to support a cat at your place.
And we even have that on the website where you can do an in memory of or in
wonderful.
Honor of. It's right on the website, and then you're listed right there.
That's just wonderful.
That's something that we just started that, and already I think, I don't know how many we've gotten, but that's another way that you can immortalize your animal that passed and do something good for somebody that's still alive.
Well, you know, I think that there are so many people that just love their own animal, but their concern stops at their sidewalk or
yeah.
something. And I just really encourage people to know that if you love any animal, you love all of them. You love all of them, and
that's
so,
right.
And it's the most honoring thing you can do for your animal is to support and love and honor the ones that have not received that.
That's right.
You know, it's just you know, I was thinking, you guys, about supply and demand. I was thinking about how people are insisting there is not enough money now, but we always have an abundance of cats.
Yes.
And yeah. that people are so, you know, just feel that it's all right to kill them.
It's terrible.
That's the sad thing about here in the Valley. It's a farming mentality where they're more like livestock sort of a thing. They don't put a value on them. And then we have a large Hispanic population that doesn't believe in spay and neuter. And then these animals are dumped by the thousands. Our local shelter kills more than New York City or Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
And up until December, they were killing 200 a day.
Oh, my goodness.
They're over 30,000 a year. And that's way, way, way down from where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So even though last year we took over 1,000 out, that doesn't even, it's not a drop in the bucket. It's just so sad.
Well, we need more people doing this. We obviously need more people doing this. And we need for people
we need
to...
Free spay and neuter and mandatory spay and neuter.
Yeah.
And that way we can stop... we can't warehouse these animals. Because if I warehoused the 20 or 30,000 cats that Fresno killed, that's not realistic. We just have to stop the birds.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only solution.
And we have to really value them.
Yeah, yeah. If they put a value on them, I tell people when you give them away free, they have no value. They just throw them out in the country when they get pregnant. And that's where next year's kittens come from.
Huh. Well, that's the way it has been. And we know that there are many, many, many people with hearts and souls and commitment like you have, Linnea, that can turn this around. That there, you know, we're talking about people that don't spay and neuter and don't care for their animals and treat them like they're paper cups, but there are increasingly more people like you and I and Sharon.
Yeah, I think the world's starting to turn around, that we're realizing that the nature is important and the earth is fragile, and
yeah.
We need to treat animals with respect if we want to be appreciated as a civilized society. We can't just breed animals and kill them. And I think that we're just starting to make that turn right now.
You know what Sharon says? Sharon says when we stop killing animals, all war will stop.
I believe that with all my heart.
Well, we're kind of at a very important point here, aren't we?
We are at a very important point.
I think it's a win-win, huh?
Yeah. Linnea, I just want to thank you with all my heart for being on, and I want you to tell people how they can reach you again, and then I want you to tell people how they can reach you, Sharon.
Okay.
It's thecathouseonthekings.com, and the email is cathousekings1@yahoo.com, and our phone is 559-638-8696.
And I wanted to say that you said to me, first time I talked to you, to come out on a sunny day and 150 cats would take a walk with me down to the river.
It was like today it's sunny, and this weekend it was sunny, and I take the people come to adopt, and I say, well, you want to go for a walk? Because they have a lot of little kids, and the kids are just, they can't believe it. You turn around, I just open the doors wide, and I say, come on, guys, let's go for a walk, and there's more than 100. Come out the door, just out, and then run to the river with you and climb the trees and play in the grass.
Oh, sounds like heaven.
And I tell people, now, look, that is not computer-generated. That is, those are individuals.
Yeah.
But it looks like a commercial where they just, you know, pasted them in there. There are not many of them.
Well, thank you, Linnea, with all my heart.
And thank you for having us on.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll do it again.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And Sharon, tell people how they can reach you.
I can be reached at Anaflora, A-N-A-F-L-O-R-A, at Snowcrest, S-N-O-W-C-R-E-S-T.net.
And I just thank you with all my heart for the many miracles you do with animals, Sharon.
Oh, and thank you.
Thank you, and I have witnessed them and been blessed by them firsthand, and I just can't thank you enough. I love you.
I love you, too, and thank you to all our listeners today and our wonderful call-ins.
Yes.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yee-haw!